Welcome to IKP's Digital Film Podcast, where we literally discuss everything and anything in the digital film world that tickles our fancy. This could be the latest Blu-ray releases to the latest theater releases. Is 1080p really gone the way of the dodo? 4K OLED coming strong? How prepared should you be? Will that HDMI cable that cost you $300 really make a difference? NAB, CES, MegaCon, Comic-Con, Cedia, Anime Expo. What conventions should we be attending or paying attention to? What televisions are the best? Samsung, Panasonic, Toshiba, Sony? What Blu-ray player is the best to buy? Oppo, Sony, Panasonic, Samsung? Who knows? That's the beautiful journey we're going to take here at IKP's Digital Film Podcast. So kick back, relax, and enjoy our sexy digital film podcast. Yeah. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, that was kind of weird. I just felt like trying my attempts at beatboxing. Bored. It's late, very late at night. Welcome to IKP's Digital Film Podcast. Welcome back. I want to give a shout out first and foremost to all our new listeners, if there is any. I know that we've had an increase in followers on our YouTube page, Vimeo page, Facebook page. And because I recently released a digital film tour of a couple digital film cameras, and it was a kind of a comprehensive, semi-comprehensive tutorial and overview of certain cameras that I know about and certain websites, and I kind of created this tutorial that sent you to, if you're interested in filmmaking or dabbling for beginners or even people that are already out there that maybe didn't know about certain websites or certain people, certain reviews of certain cameras that I know about, such as the C100, the Blackmagic Cinema Camera, the Red Scarlet X, Canon C300, the 5D Mark III, and I think that about, and the FS100 and the Sony FS700, they're both in there. Not only did I do a basic review on that, but I sent people to specific websites to get more information on each of those cameras. And in the description of the videos on YouTube's or Vimeo's, all the links, like over 10 links are posted of each website that I covered. So I kind of provided this this overview and of the cameras that I knew about, because you know I've in the stuff that I knew about, because someone did ask me, like, it's like, why didn't you post any GH3 or GH2 reviews? It's like, you know, blah 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 this, blah 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 that, why didn't you do? And you know, my response was to post anything or to make a tutorial of something that I have no knowledge of would be not only stupid but irresponsible to my audience and to anybody out there. It would be a disservice, because if I'm going to recommend something or send you somewhere that I have no idea what I'm talking about, then it would just be literally irresponsible. So for those people that did want reviews of like the GH2 or the GH3 or other cameras, I apologize. I haven't gotten around to those cameras. I know a little bit about them, but not enough to make a full assessment. I really haven't worked with any of the footage. I haven't worked with the cameras themselves, so I can't comment on things that I know nothing about. All right, so it's irresponsible. But yeah, thanks a lot for all you guys' continued support for Impulse Kitty Productions, or IKP for short, as we like to call it around here. It's just a big mouthful. So today I'm flying solo. Sherry's still under the weather. We all caught the bout of the flu, all of us. in this house. My three kids, my wife, and me. Luckily, my brother didn't catch it. He lucked out, but we all got the flu bad. And this podcast was actually going to be sooner, but it kind of turned out to be. I wanted to wait because of the subject I'm going to broach is color calibration of monitors, color reference in general, in post-production and televisions and what. I recently, yesterday, a certified ISF calibrator that I sought out myself in the local Orlando area. ISF is the Imaging Science Foundation. So, when you want your television calibrated, you have a couple of options. You can go with the big box stores that offer their song and dance about, buy this TV and pay us $200 and we'll come calibrate your TV and get it to reference level and blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. But essentially, what they do is they just come here. They have to be out within an hour, to my knowledge, and all they do is a little quick white balance and turn on the service menu if you have like a Samsung, a Cal Day or Cal Night modes, and they just do a quick little pretty much the adjustments that are made from them are done can be done actually by you by purchasing Disney's WOW disc, calibration disc, Spears and Munsell's Benchmark Blu-ray, or Joe Kane's HD Essentials disc, calibration discs. So I don't want to put anybody out in terms of don't trust like Best Buy or HH Gregg or any big box stores calibration, but the reality of the situation is that they have to adhere to certain rules and they don't know as much as someone that does it for a living, that is strictly has done it or has gone to a certification, a THX or ISF certification process. Because a good calibration, for instance, my calibration for my HD TV, for right now, I have a 55 inch LED edge lit Samsung television. And for that, he arrived at 10 a.m. and did not leave until 6 p.m. until the TV was calibrated to the utmost reference level, and you get a pre and post calibration PDF, if you will. So it tells you where your TV was when he first got there, the RGB scale, the grayscale, the gamut point. So essentially, it gives you the before and after, and you see where the adjustments were made in the D65, the color temperature of the television essentially should be at 60 D60. It's called D65, which is the temperature of 6500 Kelvin. All. Like Hollywood's, essentially, what happens is that Hollywood in itself adheres to there is a standard for color. A lot of people buy televisions, and it breaks my fucking heart, dude. It breaks my heart that I see people buying like $2,000, three up to $6,000 televisions, and I've gone to people's houses and just like they have it on this torch mode, this dynamic mode, which is meant to. Okay, so let's back up a little bit before we get into this rant that I'm about to do. Okay, so first of all, let me give a shout out to Scott Davis over at Redefine Rentals. Go ahead and check them out. Just Google Redefine Rentals or go to our Vimeo page. We have them followed. Facebook page, they're on our friends list, Redefine Rentals. I think it's .com. And they rent out camera equipment such as the Red Scarlett X, lighting equipment, DSLRs, lenses, and so on for very affordable prices. And they've been very supportive in Impulse Kitty Productions' goal to bring content to you guys, whether it be music video tributes, video blogs, comedy sketches, short films, or anything like that. So they've been working with us very, Scott Davis, the head over there, has been working with us to try and get us the best packages for camera gear. And like I've said before, there's no need to feel that you need to buy a camera that's either out of your range in price or whatnot. Rent and put the extra money into production, into camera gear, tripods, dollies, jibs, steady cams, lenses, glass. Glass is very important. Your biggest investment should probably be in good glass. Good glass does make a difference when you're filming. If you feel like you want to shoot something like in RED or 4K or something like that, I mean, you can find these rental houses that pretty much rent out this gear at affordable prices for the weekend or for however long your shoot is, and won't break the bank, and you don't have to kind of own it and then have that kind of debt or whatnot. So anyway, but I wanted to just give a good shout out to them for their support recently. And like I said, thank you for all you guys new followers on our Facebook page, and anybody new that's listening. We just kind of talk here at Impulse Kitty Productions about anything in the digital film world, whether it be, from TV calibrations to AVR receivers to Blu-ray reviews to the newest camera that tickles my dick, or anything like that, as it were, so calibration, let's see. So where does it begin? Where does it end? Why is it important? Okay. So you go to your big box store. You're walking around the show floor and you're looking at hundreds of televisions up on walls on display, anywhere from Samsung to Sony to Toshiba, Vizio, Panasonic, you name it. Okay. Anywhere from plasmas to edge lit LED, LCD, so on and so forth. So all these TVs in these big box stores come out of the box in a home or store mode. So essentially, when you turn on the television, it asks you, are you just putting this up for in a store, or are you putting it up in your home? So obviously the manufacturers have this setting to, if you set it to store, it sets it by default to the most dynamic or torch or whatever you want to call it, brightest levels, and turns on all this weird fucking processing that really, it destroys original content as it was meant to be seen. But there is a reason for this. The reason is, you have about 100 TVs, say, on a wall in a big box store. You have huge lights, fluorescent lighting, and you have all these TVs that you have to compete with. One competes with the other. So essentially what the television manufacturers do is say, okay, well, we know that what sells is the biggest, the brightest, the one that attracts you, because essentially, as humans, our eye is attracted to bright objects and very vivid stuff, even though it may not look natural. So here's where it comes in, is that these modes that are set by the store, where all this video processing and the backlight is just jacked up all the way, and the blacks are crushed, and the reds are really red, and everything looks like the grass is neon green, and it just looks so vibrant because you have to compete with all the other televisions. So each television manufacturer is trying to say, "Hey, look at me! I got the biggest, the best, brightest colors, by me." So essentially, that's and also because of the fluorescent lighting, you have to combat light with light. Essentially, the light output of the television has to be greater than the ambient light around you. Otherwise, the picture looks dull or washed out, or it just doesn't look very attractive because, light fighting light. So people buy this TV because, oh, well, look, it's the brightest, it's got the brightest colors, da da da. This, so you. So first mistake is, say, no one sells you on calibration or talks to you about calibration. So that's the first mistake. The actual first mistake is, before buying any HD TV, do your homework, do a little bit of research. In fact, when you buy anything, my suggestion is spend a couple of weeks minimum. I would say a couple of months researching what you're going to buy, because if you're going to plop down several thousand dollars, you want to be sure that you're getting the best in terms of performance and reliability, whether it be a Blu-ray player or a television or a computer, camera, camcorder, DSLR, whatever. So do your research first and foremost. And when you finally have decided on a product, make sure you read the reviews from many different people, the pros and cons, issues you might run into, what to look out for, and read up on calibration. Calibration can be done at home. You don't, if you don't want to hire someone and pay someone like $300 to come calibrate your TV, or you don't want to spend the extra $200 that Best Buy or anybody else offers you. If you're going to invest several thousand dollars in a television, even $700 in a television, at least buy a $20 to $30 calibration disc, like Spears and Munzel or Disney's Wow. I highly recommend Disney's Wow because in general it has very basic, for the beginner to all the way to expert calibration test patterns. So Disney's Wow literally has even a section where it says HD TV with Goofy 1, 2, 3 or something like that. So it really takes you and educates you in exactly what's going on in your TV and why things should be what they should be, and why is HD better than non-HD, or why is 1080p better than 720p or 1080i, or so on and so forth. So Disney's Wow calibration disc, or Spears and Munzel's benchmark disc, or Joe Kane's calibration disc as well. Look those up. Spend a little money and do a basic calibration and get that TV down to as close as you can to eye to a certain reference level. So let's go. The first mistake, okay, so is you buy the biggest, the brightest television. That's what attracted you. That's what you want. Wow. Okay, so you don't know about calibration. So you take that TV home, take it out of the box, and you could make the mistake, you put it in store mode. God forbid you put it in store mode. And your picture's vivid and bright, and it looks exactly like the way it did on the show floor. But most people will put it at home because, I mean, it's a general question. Are you setting this TV up for the store, or are you setting it up for home? So you set it for home. Now, the TV comes with presets, picture presets, from dynamic to standard to neutral, Varies from manufacturer to manufacturer, and then you have a cinema mode or a movie mode. And right off the bat, a lot of people want that vivid picture that they saw in the store. Now, right off the bat, that was for a specific reason. So if you, first of all, taking account, okay, well, first of all, your lighting, what kind of lighting do I have in my house? If you have a lot of light during the day, a lot of windows, you obviously want a more vivid picture to combat the light. And that can be easily done by adjusting the luminance, the backlight, essentially. And you can still have good color references. And then at night, you can set a different mode for nighttime and or back off the backlight or whatnot. But anyway, so take that in mind. So say you're in a moderately lit room, not really too bright, not really too dark, somewhere in the middle, more leaning towards the dark. Let's assume that. Okay. And that's where you're gonna be watching most of your content. And especially at night. So you take it out and you put it on, okay, well, you have dynamic. A lot of people love this mode, torch mode. It's like a fucking flashlight flashing your eye, burning your fucking retinas. Some people do standard, net neutral. A lot of people avoid the movie mode because they as soon as they put it on, they see that the picture turns kind of reddish and dim and unsaturated, and in some cases it's perceived as unflattering, which in most cases the best place to start is that movie and cinema mode, because that will get you at least the closest to a reference level. Now, reference level, Hollywood, the industry has a what we would say a there is a reference standard for color, a Rec. 709 color space, or gamma, so there is these coordinates, the XYZ, the primaries, your red, green, blue, secondaries, magentas, yellow, cyans, so forth. And you have the color of gray, a grayscale, so the color of gray to white to black, and all that dynamic range and whatnot. Okay, so you set it at movie mode, you're gonna start getting right there close to what the director intended. A lot of televisions are not properly calibrated because they just don't have the time to do it, especially because they don't know exactly what where the TV is gonna lie, and so they do the best they can at the manufacturer, and you get it to your home. So why would you wanna hire a calibrator? Well, you want to hire a professional calibrator because they have equipment that your eyes just can't attune to. Now, to watch it in dynamic mode, you start, especially in a dark room, you after 20 minutes of being in a dark environment, your eyes dark adjust, your pupils expand. You see more detail, and what happens is that you're watching this on this very bright mode. Not only are you crushing the blacks, but the skin tones looks like lobster red, and the grass looks like a neon green, and it may look appealing because it's like, wow, this is HD, and that's just the biggest misconception. No, this is a manufacturing trick to draw you to buy a television. So not only that, but you are causing severe eye strain, because you're literally, imagine if I were to sit there and flash a flashlight in your face for a good 20 minutes, you'd probably get a headache or migraine or some sort of fatigue after that long. And same thing happens is that the television is outputting a certain amount of light output. And if it's too high and you're not in the most optimal lighting conditions, it could effectively, you could be getting migraines. You could be wondering, like, I can only watch my TV or 3D for that matter, if you're have a 3D TV for only so long, why are my eyes getting so tired? Why do I have headaches after watching da 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 this, da da da? So not only that, but you're not seeing detail that was intended to be seen. You're seeing a picture that's being processed by the television and the Blu-ray player and whatnot, to the point where the original intent, as you saw it like in a movie theater, is completely gone. So I usually tell people, look, did this look like this in the movie theater, or did a movie theater look different? And you know, next time go to a movie theater, really pay attention and try and retain as much as of the image as possible. And then when you buy the Blu-ray, pop it in and see if you're getting the same. Is this kind of the way it was? Is it brighter on my TV? Are the colors more saturated on my TV? And you'll find that that's where calibration comes in. You hire a ISF or a THX certified calibrator because they have equipment, these Hubbles or pucks that go on the TV, and they use SpectraCal CalMan software to calibrate televisions. So it measures the light output of the television, measures the colors, and what essentially happens is that they go through this process where they're trying to get you in those XYZ coordinates in this Rec 709, would you say? There's a triangle that has these points, and you're supposed to stay within that, and it has a white point, and it's a grayscale calibration essentially. So you want what it does is it uses this meter that essentially your calibrator will tweak the white balance and the colors, the primaries. If you have a 10-point white balance, that you can do a 2-point white balance, or if you have a 10-point white balance, you can get it even more tweaked out. So there's a you know, they measure the temperature of the television. A lot of people like to watch it on cool. It should be closer to 6,500. You want to hit D65, which is 6,500 Kelvin. So it's a pretty warm picture. That's a standard. So anyway, so you go through this process, and it's a little convoluted. But if you have a good calibrator like I did, the calibrator, his name is Barry. His last name eludes me, but if you go to our Facebook page, I wrote a glowing review on his calibration, and he has a website if you live in the Florida area, Orlando area. Hire him, he's perfect. What you're paying for in a true calibration is not only the calibration, but the education. Stay there with your calibrator. He should be informative, telling you each step of what he's doing, why he's doing what he's doing, and explaining to you exactly why the colors should look like this or shouldn't look like this, or you get the idea. So what essentially happens is that a lot of people do buy into like a big box store calibration, or they do get a ISF or THX certified calibrator, or they do calibrate themselves the TV, and then they find that, well, my picture, especially if you're not educated or you didn't have someone that told you exactly what they were doing, and this is where the big box stores do their song and dance. Hey, we'll calibrate it for you. They come over, they don't fucking talk to you, they're watching the clock, they do what they do, and then they walk out, and then you're left with, well, why does my TV look dimmer, more desaturated, and more muddy, essentially? Is the perception, but no one told you. So a lot of customers are dissatisfied, unsatisfied with the results, and they quickly say, you fucked up my TV. I want it back to, the reds were really awesome, and this. Okay, well, so with a true calibrator, a calibration can take anywhere from 90 minutes to 7 to 10 hours. because there's a lot of measurements that have to be done. My calibrator came at 10 a.m. and did not leave until 6 p.m. That's how long my calibration took. And he got it to reference level. And reference level is pretty much when you're watching a movie. Obviously, content from content is going to vary. Each color, each director, color grades differently. So some scenes will be more saturated than others, but essentially they're all adhering to the standard of color. There's a gamut that should be that is there, and that essentially it falls in between that color gamut. And so what you find is now that the lighting and the colors have been dimmed down, the TV seems a little warmer. What you want to do is give it a week. Watch it for a week. Get used to it. Okay? After that week, flip it back to that dynamic mode you had it on, or whatever fucking preset you had it on. And you will find that, whoa, what the hell is that? See, you have this. You know, there's misconceptions on sharpening, which is artificial edge enhancement, and then you start getting into some aliasing, artifacting, or the perception that it is sharper, but essentially just creating this haloing effect, a white ringing on the outside. It's there for a reason. Sometimes, like if you're watching, 480p content or SD content, you want to maybe up the sharpness a little bit because it there, but when you're watching an HD signal, like a full 1080 HD signal, you generally don't want the sharpness pumped up because you're essentially getting high definition. So stuff like that, oversaturated colors and whatnot. But when you have it calibrated, it may seem a little dim, it may seem a little dark, but you'll start to notice in, especially nighttime, that your eyes adjust, dark adjust, your pupils expand, and you're starting to see more detail in these movies. The colors look more natural. You find yourself with less headaches, longer viewing times, with less eye fatigue. And that is because the TV now is set at an appropriate light level. And there could be a day and night mode that they could enable in your television to combat like the daylight ambient light, and at night you switch it over to night, and you have that eye comfortable level, and you start seeing more dynamic range, which is the widest whites to the darkest blacks and all that there's mid-range. So you start seeing more into the shadows, you see more detail, and you start realizing, hey, I saw this movie 6 months ago, 3, 4, 5 months ago in the theater, and it looks pretty damn close to what I saw in the theater. And so that, my friends, is more or less my little rant about get your TV calibrated. You should be watching things not as the way you want to watch them, or the way the TV itself, and the source device, such as the Blu-ray player, the Apple TV, whatnot, does a lot of wonky fucking shit. So what you want to do is get the purest signal out, the least amount of processing. So you want to turn a lot of settings off, especially this motion flow interpolation thing that turns everything much smoother, make things look like video. Well, that may seem kind of cool and whatnot, and I fell in prey to this to myself for many years because I thought it looked pretty cool. But after a while, you start realizing, wait, I'm watching this. This is nowhere near the what the director wanted me to watch. And essentially, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, look, if you create something, and you say you paint a picture, or you well, let's just do video reference or audio reference. So say you mix a CD. You spent hours getting those minute strings, bass, mids, lows, whatever. Same thing with color. You're a colorist, say you are color correcting a image, whether it be a picture or whatnot, you spent hours getting those colors just right. And then you throw them up on a monitor or an audio device that hasn't been calibrated. All that hard work is destroyed. And now your work is being crushed or not being listened to at the most optimum level. And you're not getting the most out of your HDTV or your AVR receiver or your Blu-ray player because you have all this weird fucking processing going on that you may not even know that's going on. Another misconception that I want to tell you guys, there is no such thing as a $1,000 HDMI cable that will fucking make your TV look the best. Go to monoprice.com, buy one of their Redmire cables, 6-foot Redmire cable with built-in amplification for $14.99, and you will get superior quality than that monster cable that could be this thick, huge fucking cable, but inside could be the cheapest copper wiring and whatnot. So never pay more than, I would say, never pay more than $40. I take that back. Never pay more than $30 for a 6-foot HDMI cable. If you pay more than even the ones that are 1.4 now or support the bandwidth for 3D and whatnot, should really not have to be 50 to, that's marketing BS and bullshit. Their fucking markup, especially on monster cables, is ridiculous. So go to monoprice.com or go to Walmart, make sure that, it meets a certain spec, like you do want to make sure that you have the right cable that does, support 3D and whatnot. But just because a cable's cheaper doesn't necessarily mean it's more inferior. Like I said, there is no $1,000 HDMI cable. And I hate people that are being taken. I've literally heard speeches, I've overheard speeches at big box stores that these salesmen will say, your TV will not work without this $300 HDMI cable. And guess what? These people that don't know any better are goofed by this markup, and they buy this $300 HDMI cable never knowing that, hey, I could have spent $20 on an HDMI cable, $14 on an HDMI cable, gotten the same resolution, same bandwidth, and could have spent that extra money on extra Blu-rays or whatnot, or just saved myself that $300 or whatnot. So check out monoprice.com, very reliable. I buy all my HDMI cables there. Redmire technology, awesome. Check those out. Amazon's got a couple of good cables out there, but Monoprice is really reputable. It's a pretty good source. So essentially, what I'm trying to say is that there is an intended way that you should be working. Say you're doing color sensitive work, make sure that your monitors are calibrated to reproduce what the theater or the essentially the standard. Within that standard, you can play with colors and whatnot, but just make sure that you are working on reference monitors that are at reference level in terms of light output and color gamut, and that you're not, working with a fucking blue monitor or blue plasma and you think you got these colors just right, but then when you watch them actually on a properly calibrated television, they look like all off. So you don't want that. So, you want to get from point A to point B, and you want, essentially, especially if you're doing a lot of color sensitive work, whether it be Photoshop or color correcting in DaVinci Resolve, etc., just make sure that your reference monitor, your television, whether it be a plasma, all your three monitors that you're looking at are as close to that reference level as possible. Now go to Spectracal, Calman.com and their Calman software. You could even do buy enthusiast packages for DIY, you know, do it yourself. And they sell affordable meters and software and kind of walks you through it if you don't want to pay the calibrator, if you're more interested in doing it yourself. But I would recommend, if you don't know anything about calibration, at least start with a calibration disc like the Disney Wow disc. Highly recommended. Spears and Munzel Benchmark or Joe Kane's calibration disc. At least start with that. Get to a certain level that you should be watching it. Start on movie mode and go from there. I'm not saying if you want to hire the big box stores, they will make a difference. But try and make sure that when your TV is being calibrated, be there and ask questions and ask, well, why is this? If you have a concern, that person should be able to answer all your questions. And the more education you have on the subject, the more satisfied you're going to be with the performance of your television or monitors that you're working on, because you know for a fact that, okay, this is a reference standard. Now I'm watching, and you'll start noticing different stuff like, wow, this director really punched up the colors. I was watching the colors too desaturated, or I was watching the colors too saturated, or I couldn't see into that dark alley before like I can now because the blacks were being crushed or whatnot. So you know, content varies. Art is subjective. So but there is a reference standard. So get your shit calibrated. I can't stress that enough. If not for anything else, for just watch things as the director intended you to watch them. Don't watch them like you want to watch them, because essentially you're just destroying all that hard work that the director of photography, the director himself, the DI colorist, the producers, everybody put a lot of money and hard work in making this look a certain way. And by you destroying that, as a filmmaker myself, would break my heart. If you're, you know, zooming your stuff in like to get rid of letterbox black bars or punching it up to dynamic and destroying all the color information and losing it's sad to see. So try and make sure that you're watching things the way they're intended to be seen, because you don't go to a theater and you know, you go to a theater and there is a reference standard that you're looking at. And that's why when you go to a theater, things look really great. And when you get home, they don't match. Why? Well, because your TV is doing a lot of it, either its own processing or the source device is doing something wonky. So get your local ISF calibrator or THX certified calibrator. Just Google ISF calibration or AVS forum and find your local ISF certified calibrator and go from there. Talk to them, and like I said, on my Facebook page, we did a glowing review on Barry's calibration, and he will travel to certain places. It might cost a little more, but a normal calibration, if you're just doing a 2D calibration, not a 3D, it's just going to run you $300. But trust me, those $300 are going to be the best money you spent if you hire a true professional that's going to take that time. 10 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, dude, that's a lot of time. And that time is never wasted. He never stopped working. He was measuring the TV over and over and over and over. And you do get a pre and post PDF. And you do see, look, fuck, you were way off here. Your colors were this and your blue was here. Your blue was, you know, I thought I had it at perfect, kind of close. I thought he was just going to kind of clean it up. But man, dude, my shit was like, it didn't look like it to me, but it was fucking, the blues were like ridiculously spiked. But the human eye sees colors differently. So that's why you need that meter, because it's measuring the colors and getting them to that reference standard and Delta E. Anyway, but point is of this rant, this podcast, get your shit calibrated. It's important, whether it's calibration for your audio devices or your computer monitors or your television. Trust me, you will get the, especially like I said, if you're spending thousands of dollars, get your shit calibrated and watch it. Enjoy it as it should be seen. But that ends the rant for today. I got nothing left in me. Hopefully some of this stuff was informative. I will soon be making a I'm looking into making a another tour, a digital film tour, but it's gonna kind of focus on a little bit on how digital film cameras work, how film cameras work, and kind of talking about calibration and color science and kind of, you know, taking you through the basics of what you should be doing if you're getting into the industry and what you should be looking for and that, you know, what a director of photography is, his responsibilities, or a director or producer or colorist responsibilities. And I hope to have that out within the next month. But we do have a music video tribute that we are desperately trying to get out, that we've been trying to get out for 2 years now. And hopefully that'll be out soon too as well. And we're working really hard, baby steps. So thanks for following us. Don't give up on us. Thanks for listening. And what I'm gonna cover, I wanted to cover CES 4K. It's coming. Actually, it's not coming. It's here. Trust me. Anybody that thought that 4K it was a pipe dream, there at CES, it's very apparent that 4K and OLED is coming, especially 4K. So if you're thinking that, oh, 4K will not be here until 11, 12 years from now, you know what? To tell you the truth, it might here be here within the next 2 to 4 years. And so be prepared for that shift. I welcome it. High resolution 4K. Come on, four times. Yeah, the resolution of what you're getting now, you know, horizontally and vertically. 4096, 2160 versus 1920 by 1080. So anyway, I forgot the other one. It's I know it's the 2160 is the latter half, the 3860. I know there's two forms of 4K, but the one I usually use is 4096 by 2160. So, but anyway, I'll try and talk more about CES stuff. Quick Blu-ray review on Dredd. I don't know if you guys remember Judge Dredd with Stallone, the goofiest piece of shit, a representation of that comic book. Atrocious. Pleasantly surprised of the 3D Blu-ray of Dredd that just came out. So it's highly recommended, got good reviews. Failed at the box office. There's no accounting for why it did, but if you go to Blu-ray.com, check out their review, or if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, good review. If you're looking for if you know what Judge Dredd's about, it gets it pretty close, and it is no funny business. It's a hardcore, awesome. It gets down to the point from point A to B. It's literally good versus evil, end of story. A lot of shooting, a lot of violence, but awesome. I had fun, so it was a good Blu-ray. So that's a kind of a quick Blu-ray review that we recently watched. I'll try to get to some CS stuff that I might be excited to see, other updates. But thanks for listening to IKP's Digital Film Podcast. Come back again and we'll play with your pussy ear. Thanks a lot, guys.